there's a nice complementary approach that can be used that involves both the robotic spacecraft and the human-oriented spacecraft. Professor Horowitz will talk in a few minutes about future astronomical research in space, and that really sets the broadest context for our space exploration, that is using the telescopes like the Hubble telescope that's up now and the Gamma Ray Observatory, the Compton mission, as well as the Chandra telescope that we're supposed to launch this summer. Those set the broadest context in our understanding of the universe and helping us understand the evolution of the universe and our place in it. Closer in, once you get to the star which makes the most difference to those of us on Earth, the Sun, there's a very challenging and interesting set of missions planned to understand how the Sun evolves, how the solar energy manifests itself from the surface of the Sun into the solar wind, how the solar wind blows past the different planets, particularly Earth, interacts with their atmospheres and their magnetic envelopes. There's a great set of missions coming up in that have it as their purpose to be able to ultimately predict with much better understanding how the Sun will evolve in the future and how that will affect the Earth's environment. There's also a very large area of research very close to home that uses space to look back at the Earth. That is the idea of Earth science, or used to be called Mission to Planet Earth, which NASA is funding and which nations around the world are involved in. That is to use instruments in Earth orbit to image the surface of the Earth in a variety of wavelengths and understand the dynamics of the ocean and the biodiversity or the growth of different land coverings, the different cycles, the carbon cycle, the water cycle, all of the things which make up the coupled environment. There'll be a lot of missions related to that are international in scope. There's sort of a strategy underway involving human exploration that currently involves flying missions on the space shuttle, which last from a week to 2 weeks, and which are setting the stage now for the construction of the International Space Station, which is being done with nations all over the world. There'll be more than 25 flights of the shuttle that will be involved in taking different pieces of the station up over the several years to come and linking them together. The station itself will be about the size of a football field and will have an increasing capability both in onboard science and in crew capabilities. And the space station will give us a lot of information duration spaceflight, which is one of the things that we need the trip might take the order of a year to get there and a year to get back, and one has to assure that the crew health is maintained and that their response to the low gravity environment on the way to Mars will not debilitate them. So there are a number of both science activities and technologies that will be developed on the space station which are laying the groundwork for a decision downstream that could lead to human exploration of Mars. Some of the technologies involved would be, for example, the development of very energy efficient systems, because the space station has a limited amount of solar energy available. A future mission to Mars would have a limited amount of energy, and so energy efficient technologies will be very important to develop for the space station and hence to be used on a mission to Mars. Energy efficient systems are also, of course, very of great use to us on Earth. The less power we use, the less difficulty we get into with environmental challenges that come from power generation, for example, coal plants and the concomitant CO2 problem. So energy efficient technologies will be valuable on the ground. A second area which will be of interest in the space station will be recycling, carrying things up to the space station costs a lot of money because the shuttle flights are expensive, and one wants to utilize and reutilize it to the greatest degree possible the things that are on the space station. For example, in its initial configuration, the space station will reuse all water that's generated in the spacecraft, clean it, use it again. Because water is heavy, taking water up and dumping it out is not the right thing to do. So the recycling of water, the cleansing of water and reusing of water is set into the initial system. And that would be expanded to recycling as many things as we can as the space station is up for longer and longer periods of time. That technology, the technology of recycling, would be important for missions to Mars, and it would also clearly be important for products that could come and be used back on Earth. A third area for space station would be monitoring human wellness. It's important for the crew to stay well. It would be important for a crew on the way to Mars to stay well. And one would like to develop medical techniques to be able to monitor wellness more effectively and not just have to respond to sickness once it develops. And so there's a lot of technology oriented toward monitoring wellness. And then there'll be a number of scientific experiments which will use the microgravity environment that you have when you're in orbit around the Earth to develop new materials to grow larger crystals, which can be used to, for example, in drug design, crystal, protein crystallography, things of that sort. Many of which one could anticipate will lead to technologies that are useful on the ground and new products that are useful on the ground. It's not always possible to anticipate what the products will be. What we know is that if we look back at the history of the space program, there are tens of thousands of products that have come out of the technologies that we've had to develop to do space exploration, and one can anticipate the same thing out of both the manned missions on the space station and the unmanned missions that will go to the planets. One other area of the strategy that I would mention is underway, and that is to send robotic spacecraft to the different planets in the solar system. If one thinks about the future of space exploration as being a spreading of humankind out into the solar system, you do it sort of in stages. You do it initially with the remote sensing observations that you can do from telescopes. In the second phase, you do it with spacecraft that actually visit the planets, or at least fly by the planets and get closer images. Thirdly, you do it with spacecraft that land on the planets, and you saw recently the landing of the Pathfinder spacecraft on Mars with the idea of studying the Martian surface. There's another spacecraft in orbit around Mars now that's surveying the surface, mapping the surface, looking for different not only topological features from a geological scientific interest, but looking for places that might make sense for landing sites for future missions. And we plan to have missions that will land on the surface and return samples ultimately. And if the technology develops, there would be missions which would utilize the land on the surface of Mars, utilize the surface to actually generate the fuels that would fuel the return vehicles that would come from future exploration. For example, taking the oxygen out of the Martian soil and purifying it and having it ready as a propellant to power spacecraft that bring people there and help get the people back. So there's really a fairly grand plan that one could look at in space exploration that involves the judicial combination of the free-flying spacecraft, robotic spacecraft, with the development of the human exploration capabilities that can at least leave the door open for all the people of the world to choose to do human exploration of the planets in the future. And certainly Australia has a great opportunity to be part and already is involved in many aspects of the grand plan, but has an opportunity to be involved in many more. Out of that, one can think sort of about the technological return, that is the exploitation of space, roughly in terms of your investment. If a nation invests in the technology of space exploration, the return from that investment would probably be proportional to the investment, in that the more a given country decides to be involved in the more it challenges their creative people to do things that have never been done before, the more that leads to new technologies, which then can lead to new products that that nation can sell on the world market. So there's an opportunity for us, for the people of the world, to do some very challenging things in space and to use those challenges and those goals to challenge our not only our industries in the new technology, but to challenge our children to take on lives, exciting careers related to understanding science and technology. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was Rick Chappell, who was a former chief scientist at NASA's Marshall Center and a mission scientist for Space Lab One. I love the idea of the space capsule being like a mini biosphere and recycling everything, including water. And I mean, there really your parameters, environmental parameters, are, you know, do it or die. So it's no doubt that there are some spin-offs there that would be useful.